And now it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in their chairs for a shape-up this week are author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas. Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
What's
good,
up?
Hey.
What's up?
Well, as it happens,
what's on your mind?
Men behaving badly.
Oh man!
Let me just say, this is one of those shows that we definitely need Michelle here. We definitely need Michelle here. This is one of those shows we cannot do without.
Yeah,
Michelle.
You're right about that. You're 100% right about that.
To keep this on the tasteful level, is that it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
I will
More
try.
Or less.
All right, gentlemen, behave. Let's start with the indictment of the one-time Democratic nominee for Vice President John Edwards by a federal grand jury in North Carolina now. Edwards was charged with 6 counts stemming from an investigation into whether or not he used money from supporters to cover up an affair. Holy mackerel. Fellas, you know what? He's a former senator, a voice for the poor, a presidential candidate, and the nominee for VP on John Kerry's ticket in 2004. Sadly, he may best be known for cheating on his now late wife, Elizabeth, as she struggled with cancer. Now, you know what? All this guy needs to do is shave his head bald and get a monocle and change his last name to Evil. You know what I mean?
You need a white cat.
I am so done. I am so done with John Edwards. Ruben, come and get some.
He's not going to get any love from anybody. Here's the problem with John Edwards. You know, those people who have watched him over time have to admit that for all his skills, and he has ample skills, he made a lot of money. He's a trial lawyer. He's a smart guy. He's a talented guy. He is in love with himself. He has always been in love with himself. He's a narcissist. And when you see him, it made sense, as some would say, that the person he had this affair with was a person who was his videographer, you know, who had this camera and it's the whole thing. And I think that for those people who have had interactions with Edwards, they admit that he has always had this failing. And he's not the only one. There's plenty of politicians who fall into this category, but it's a really sad way to end the story that here you have a guy who's indicted now, before a federal jury, and he's already an incredibly unsympathetic character. He's burned all his bridges. The people I think out there who feel most betrayed, frankly, are Democrats who were on his side, who helped him run for president, who he kept this from. And at the end, it was always, always, always about John. It wasn't about Elizabeth. It wasn't about the kids. It wasn't about the family. It wasn't about his supporters. It wasn't about the Democratic Party. It wasn't about the poor in New Orleans. It was always about John.
Yeah.
And this is Pablo.
Go ahead, Pablo.
I was just going to say, I mean, like the one thing this whole saga needed was a paper trail, right? I mean, like that was – I mean, it's time to heed the lesson of Richard Nixon in that the cover-up is – even when the crime is so ridiculous as it already is, it tends to be even worse. I mean, this is just the latest example of that with this indictment. You know, do whatever you want to do, whatever. But, you know, copping to your mistake up front and not trying to hide it, it seems like that principle has always held true through all these scandals we've been experiencing from John Edwards and on.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was a good politician, just a horrible, horrible human being. A-Train.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this federal indictment charges him with 6 counts, including 4 counts of illegal campaign contributions, 1 count of conspiracy, and 1 count of making false statements. And, you know, again, when it comes to federal prosecutions, that, you know, bringing up an indictment is up to federal prosecutors. And like Ruben said in the beginning, since nobody is going to lose any sleep over John Edwards getting indicted, I was not surprised at all when this federal indictment came down.
You know, the only thing I would add to this is that, of course, we do have to remember that he's innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, and that process still needs to unfold. Mm-hmm. I think the two things that are tragic to me about this is, one is, you know, he's a very wealthy man himself, so there's no need for him to funnel payments to his inamorata under a campaign, you know, under a campaign account. I mean, so that piece of it is disturbing, and you can understand why someone would do that, because you're trying to hide, you know, what you're doing, you know, payments to a mistress. You're trying to hide that, and we get that. But to kind of abuse the campaign process, it's another thing that makes people feel that the whole thing is dirty and that these people are really running for office, not for the purpose of actually accomplishing something, but really, as Ruben was pointing out, it's kind of an extension of this narcissistic impulse. But I just want to take the other side of that piece, and I was thinking about something that I don't remember who said this to me, that if you're drowning and somebody throws you a rope, do you really care why they're throwing it to you? And one of the tragedies of this for me is that John Edwards had some very important and interesting policy ideas. He was one of the very few people who really articulated ending poverty and attacking poverty as a goal, as an important priority and a goal. We very rarely hear that in American politics among candidates who actually might win. Because typically what happens is everybody talks about the middle class, and that's fine because that's what most people are, you know. But to articulate, to say we are a really wealthy country, we can do better by our poor people, and to have somebody
here's
so
the problem
flawed
with that,
in articulate, it just it just makes you, it makes me sad. And this, do we really care whether the guy is a great guy if he gets an important job done? I mean, that's the question I think we all have to ask ourselves at some point.
We do. We do care. And the reason we care is because it goes to sincerity of the cause. It goes to whether or not he really believed it, whether or not he was just trying to manipulate somebody. Everything else in John Edwards' life was a lie. We somehow have to believe that when he took the podium in New Orleans and talked about poor folks, he was speaking from the heart, even though he lied about everything else. If you are misled by Edwards for policy and you believe what he's saying, it's just words. It's nothing more than words. Ideas are nothing if the people don't believe it.
Okay, but
and so
doesn't it really matter if somebody's a skilled politician? If you're truly, I guess that's the question we're debating here. I'm not claiming to have the answer.
Well, it's a great debate. I mean, that's a Lance Armstrong question too, right? I mean, that's the deal with him, is that he's this guy who, you know, is single-handedly, it seems, the greatest force we've seen in recent years in terms of fighting cancer. But his entire premise is built upon this alleged and increasingly convincingly false pile of lies.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to our weekly Barbershop segment. We're joined by author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. All right, fellas. I can say with absolute certitude that New York Congressman Anthony Weiner has had a tough week. A below-the-belt photo of a man was sent from Weiner's Twitter account to a female college student. I hate when that happens. Weiner denied sending the photo, and said he was a victim of hackers.
Man.
But things got bizarre when he gave a slew of interviews on Wednesday and said that while he didn't send the photo, he can't say for sure whether that's a picture of him or not.
And this is where I jump in to say I'm not sure this conversation is appropriate for all listeners. I don't know. But it's about what the picture contained was.
This is the warning label.
This is the warning label moment where, I'll put it as CNN anchor Rolf Blitzer put it, which is, do you know whether those are your underpants or not? Is that kind of captures it. And I'll just give you a little bit of that interview. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. You would know if this is your underpants, for example.
The question is this. I appreciate you continuing to flash that at me. Certainly doesn't look familiar to me, but I don't want to say with certitude to you something that I don't know to be the certain truth. Just about every week, people have spam and hacking that goes on. It seems like I was a victim of that, and I don't consider it that big a federal offense, but people want to pay attention to it, and I guess I get it. When you're named Weiner, it kind of goes with the territory.
Have you ever taken a picture like this of yourself?
I can tell you this, that I have photographs. I don't know what photographs are out there in the world of me. I don't know what things have been manipulated and doctored.
You gotta go. Hold up.
Yeah, I mean,
Anthony, stop talking. Anthony, talking.
Right. You know, where's the publicist with the taser?
Shuffle. Stop digging.
Listen,
seriously,
Arsalan.
Jimmy, this is Arsalan. You know, if I were Anthony Weiner and I had a junk shot sent to me, I'd be like, number one, that's not my junk. I know my junk. Me and my junk is like this, son. You know, anything short of that.
Right.
Anything short of that, it's like, okay, we believe that you didn't send it, but we also now know that this is probably your junk shot, you know, based on your answers. You know, what's interesting in this whole debate is, you know, the role of Andrew Breitbart. You know, somebody who, you know, defamed Shirley Sherrod during that whole affair, the whole Acorn fiasco. You know, Breitbart and this mysterious guy named Dan Wolf, who has the Twitter handle at Patriots 1976, and seems to be the only person to have seen this.
Breitbart took the picture?
Well, no. I'm not.
Tweeted.
What is this, the Bruder?
Oh, no, this is not good. This is getting worse.
I think what he's saying is, look, who do you like on this? Do you like believe I'm saying this, Team Weiner or Team Breitbart? Because Breitbart's reputation
Breitbart is irrelevant to this.
He's the one who disseminated the picture.
You heard the tape. Here we have a situation again. A grown man, theoretically, Anthony Weiner, is asked a question by Wolf Blitzer. Two questions. Is that your underwear? You saw the answer. It was all over the place, right? He was dodging the question. Right. Then, have you ever taken a picture like this? He dodges it again. In another interview with Luke Russert, he likewise said, I can't tell you with an immoral certitude that that's, you know, me or not me. And then another interview I saw with Jonathan Carl, same thing over and over again. So here's the thing. Unless Andrew Breitbart has the power to crawl into Wiener's brain, take over his mouth, his ability to mangle these questions, at some point we got to do what we did with Edwards 10 minutes ago. Tell the brothers, step up and take responsibility. This is not anybody else's fault. This is not Andrew Breitbart's fault. This is Anthony Weiner blowing this and making maybe a molehill into a mountain by virtue of the fact that he is not able to communicate his way out of this mess.
Yeah, and this is
I bet his wife knows.
Well,
how about
right.
that? Go ahead, Pablo.
I was just going to say it's just so, you know, perfect and ironic because you asked me a month ago who would be one of the least likely politicians to be caught in this. I would have picked probably Anthony Weiner. I mean, he's a tenacious, brilliant, you know, guy.
No, he's a talented guy.
Really, I mean, if you watch him in Congress in these debates, he's wonderful. He's obviously online savvy. I honestly would have picked him to be the last guy to have any DNA shared with Brett Favre. And yet here we are. And that's just the way.
Well, that's obviously why there's an interest in promoting this story, isn't there? Because he's an effective advocate for his side.
Women have known this for a while. It's like, you know, you cannot have certitude about the existence of God and whether there's life on other planets, but whether or not that's a picture of your crotch is one of those things where you should have certitude about.
It's not like a
you know, you all have
Bigfoot
persuaded me on this
around.
Point. I have
you know
to say,
what I mean?
You all seem very clear, and you've persuaded me that you would definitely know.
Well, let's not
know
forget
if
our favorite excuse. our favorite excuse. Remember when Newt Gingrich got called on this, and they asked Gingrich about his affairs, and he said, "Well, I was working a lot back then. I was under a lot of pressure." Right. Every single man who has ever behaved badly has an excuse for it. Mm-hmm. The first test should be: would your wife buy it? Those of us who are married, go home and tell your wife you're not sure if that's your junk. Okay? See how that flies. See how that works. Okay? Not me, brother.
Yeah,
not me, baby.
Yeah,
me and my junk is like this, son.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, now you know.
Now you know. Word to those about to get married. Don't take it home.
Don't go there.
All right, look, before we let you go, we got to ask about last night's NBA Finals Game 2, the Dallas Mavericks and the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there it is.
Seven to shoot. Nowitzki drives underneath, lefty layup, banks it in with 3.6 remaining. Miami out of timeouts, trailing by two. James back to Wade. Wade puts it up for the win. Off the mark, and Dallas has tied the finals with one of the most incredible comebacks in NBA Finals history.
All right, so which Cold-blooded. Of you is psyched and who's crying in their pillow?
You know,
listen,
I like it.
I, as I've said on Facebook and Twitter, I think that everybody outside of the city of Miami is a Dallas Mavericks fan for the next 3 weeks.
I don't think you neither, Jimmy.
Listen,
No.
You're in Cleveland.
I didn't know. First of all, I did not know that Dirk Nowitzki was a Jedi name. Down 15 points with 7 minutes left. In Miami, I mean, it was just you have D Wade and LeBron doing the electric slide, you know, with 7 minutes left. It was phenomenal.
Dallas just did to Miami what Miami just did to Chicago, yo.
Yeah,
he's got amnesia about that. Go ahead, Pablo.
I heard people yelling out of their windows in my neighborhood in New York last night at this game. I mean, it just seemed like every shot by the Mavericks was willed by the collective hatred for LeBron James and Dwayne Wade by the rest of the country. And this is going to be a great series. I mean, anybody who had it locked up after Game 1 or God forbid, 6 minutes to go in game two is going to be in for something that's, you know, we don't really see in sports, which is a country united against one team.
Not us, Jimmy. Step up, man.
Anybody that's ever seen LeBron play knows that he thrives under pressure. So just be careful.
He's a force of nature. Nobody will deny it. Why are you all such haters?
That's why Ruben and Arslan, why are you all such haters? Why are you hating?
It's called the decision on ESPN, that one-hour-long fiasco.
The bar for hatred is really low.
I loved LeBron. I loved him, but the way that he left was whack.
Ruben, why are you a hater?
Plus, I lived in Dallas for 5 years. I'm going to tell you right now. Dallas, the thing, they will. I hate to say this, but there's always this tendency that they will clutch defeat from the jaws of victory. Mm-hmm. It's they're the Chicago Cubs of North Texas in basketball.
It's not a T-shirt, I believe.
They win things. They win games they're not supposed to win, and then they lose when they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
But I think
somebody got to give him fan lessons. That's not how you deal with your team.
You go like that.
Yeah, I think that they are in it to win it. Dog. I think they're into it. So we'll see.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, that was hot. That was hot.
Right.
Yeah.
But Pablo, before we let you go, Shaq stepping down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quickly, I mean, 30 seconds. What do you got to say about Shaquille?
A guy who made Shaq Fu, a guy who made Shaq Diesel his rap album, still managed to be beloved by generations of people. I just hope he becomes a sheriff, gets a reality show, and he doesn't evaporate from our lives.
You mean a reality show to compete with the one his wife is executive producing?
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
That's where Jimmy should go. No! Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and author of the book The Denzel Principle. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Pablo Torre is a reporter for Sports Illustrated. He joined us from our NPR studios in New York. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist who writes for the Washington Post Writers Group and CNN.com. He was with us from San Diego. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney, founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and managing editor of The Crescent Post. He was here with us in our D.C. studio. Thank you all so much.
Peace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.